Hey, welcome to another great episode of the Protectors Podcast. Very, very special guest today because he's got a lot going on in his world. But also, before we get to our guest, let me get over to my awesome co-host again. Gene O'Neill is back. Welcome, Gene.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's welcome our awesome guest, Mark Graney. What's going on?
Hey, Jason. Hey, Gene. Thanks for having me.
I tell you what, man, your summer is full. Absolutely full. I mean, Thriller Fest, but you have The Gray Man coming up with Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans with that awesome mustache. And then July 5th, you have Armored coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super busy time. And I've two family trips in there, the book tour. We'll go out to LA for the premiere. And it's got some other stuff going on too. But yeah, I've known for a couple of years that the summer of 2022 is going to be kind of bonkers. And here we are.
Yeah, that must have, you know, speaking of a couple of years, it must have been kind of up in the air not having the in-person type thing. And you're trying to like plan for this year, not knowing what it was going to be like. And now everything's, hey, in person, we're going to be doing a premiere. And this premiere is going to be, it's going to be pretty intense because these are like, these top class A type actors and the Russo brothers, and everybody else is involved with The Gray Man.
Yeah.
I know you've had a lot of encounters with a lot of different people, but this is like, this is your baby coming to fruition. What's it feeling like?
Well, I've been confident more or less from the moment I've met the Russo brothers. And, you know, we talked about the ideas of behind the story and they sort of liked the same things I did. And I knew I was in good hands. I read a script that Joe Russo wrote several years ago and I was like, okay, I'm in great hands. And then I read the shooting script last year, right as they started filming. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. So I'm very confident. I've seen pieces of the film and I'm blown away by the actors. So, I mean, obviously I guess I'd have to come on here and say that even if it wasn't the case, but I mean, it's not even a wash of relief because I knew it was going to be good, but it's just, I'm just sort of amazed that, you know, the emotional beats of the story, it's not just an action story. There's a lot of, you know, emotion in it and everything. And they just knocked it out of the park with that. So I'm really happy to be where I am right now.
There's a show out right now called The Offer, and it's about the making of The Godfather. And it has a character who plays Mario Puzo in it and how they took the book and made it into the movie. And that's how the whole thing goes. That's how the whole storyline goes throughout the series. And as I'm watching that, I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about Jack Carr and everybody else about how their protagonists come to screen, how their books are coming to screen, and how they have to change things around, and about cost with production value. And you can't do the grand fiasco all over the world. What do you feel like about The Gray Man?
Yeah, well, when I think of The Gray Man book, I mean, it's been forever since I've read it or listened to the audio, but the film is a much larger scale. So they actually went bigger. You know, I didn't know I was writing it for a movie when I wrote it. I'd never been published and I was just trying to get a book deal. But I probably wrote a $25 million movie or something. And, you know, they spent a couple hundred million on it. So the sets are bigger. The action is bigger than I wrote. And I bow to no one when it comes to writing a lot of action. I do a ton of it, but they really captured it and then expanded on it. So, yeah, there's changes in the story, and a lot of the changes I'm like, oh, I wish I wrote that dialogue. You know, that was a great line. And a lot of the changes involve setting this up for future films, because they, you know, the idea is to make a franchise out of it. We'll see if that happens. But, you know, when I wrote it, I wasn't writing it for future books. You know, the first book was the beginning, middle, end of a story, and I didn't know that I was going to be writing a series. I didn't even know, you know, I would get published. So, you know, I understand that all the changes that were made, but it's still the Gray Man story, essentially the story. And I think 7 out of 9 of the big action set pieces, I just read Joe Russo say this, you know, come out of the book. So I think that's pretty good.
They, I'm a huge Ryan Gosling fan. Yeah, and when they married up the character together, and I knew he was going to take over that role, I went back. A couple weeks ago, we watched Drive. We watched a lot of different Ryan Gosling movies. And I'm like, he's such an excellent choice for that actor. I'm like, he really fits it. And I think really, if anybody can be the Gray Man, it's him.
Yeah. And you have to wait till you see the film. But I mean, like his ability to be minimalist in his delivery and stuff, it was just really, really impactful. And I was so glad that was the way they went with the story and with the actor and everything, because he's not a showy guy, the protagonist, and he's not, you know, cheesy or schmaltzy. He's got a sense of humor, but it's, you know, it's well-timed or whatever. And I thought he did such a good job. When I saw, when they first cast him, I'd seen Blade Runner 2049 probably for the second time, like right before that. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's perfect. And, it's like, maybe he should just play that character again, but he doesn't. I mean, it's a very different character, but he does a terrific job.
That's awesome.
There's an economy of dialogue that Court displays, where there's no unnecessary words traveling from him. There's plenty traveling to him.
Yeah.
And it's good to see an actor who can function in that space take on the part.
I agree. There's almost a naivete in the character, because he's not a social animal. He's not a social creature. And they totally capture that in the film.
I think that's why so many people enjoy the character. I know it's why I enjoy the character. He's awkward everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's he has a skill set for sure, but then there's also gaps in his knowledge and relationships or, you know, other things like that. He's a little slow as the series has gone on. You know, he necessarily has interacted with more people, and he's sort of changed a little bit. You kind of have to have your protagonist change in every story. So, you know, he's developed, but going back in The Gray Man, he was just very much a man alone and apart from anyone else. And, didn't really have the skill set to be that interactive with people.
Yeah, Sierra Six really kind of brings that backstory. Like, you're like, wow, okay, now it makes a lot of sense. A lot of his characteristics, a lot of his, like, not getting close to other people, losing his interests. I love that book. I really don't like seeing you go on vacation. I think you really should just be writing all the time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as I always tell people, I'm like, I'm not painting a fence. Like, I have to wait for ideas to come in sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't always happen while you're sitting there. But the pace of the books is as fast as I'll ever get. I'm only slowing down after this, but I'll keep writing Gray Man books as long as they'll let me.
There is no hope. There is only do.
There you go.
Hey, let's talk about Armor. Yeah, this is a different type of protagonist. Can you kind of give me the backstory in it? For one, I do want to know, is Jay Snyder going to be narrating this one? Because he knocks it out of the park. I love Jay Snyder.
Jay Snyder is fantastic, but it's kind of a big thing in audiobooks, where if you're doing more than one series, you want to have a different voice for to voice the other series. So the guy who's doing it, his name is Adam Gold, and he does
an
amazing job as well. And I picked him. I mean, I listened to a bunch of different people, and I was like, I think this is the right guy. So the idea for the story, I mean, came, I did some training. I just started doing some firearms training early in my career with The Gray Man and stuff. And I got more and more into it, more and more into it. And I started training at a school where they train a lot of civilian private military contractors, and as well as law enforcement and military. And I just got an idea a long, long time ago about a story about the PMC guys, not about the people they protect or the mission or whatever. It's more about the characters. And so I came up with this protagonist, Josh Duffy, who is he's basically a blue collar, you know, guy with a HK around his neck or an M4 around his neck, protecting, you know, usually like mobile, you know, contracting, and just, I put him in this situation with his team in Western Mexico in the cartel world. And I just developed it over a long period of time. I started writing it as a screenplay in 2011, and then it became like a full cast audio drama. And then now it's coming out as a book, and it's been optioned by Sony Pictures. So hopefully someday down the road, maybe 15 years from now, because that's been my journey with The Gray Man, they'll make a movie out of it.
I don't think it's going to be 15 years. I think with the success of Gray Man and definitely the success of the movie coming out, I definitely see it in the future.
Right. Well, I hope so.
You know, you're building on two different worlds and you're building with two different protagonists.
Yeah.
All right. How are you keeping it separate? I've always wanted to know that with authors that have multiple books out.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a good many years where I was writing the Tom Clancy Jack Ryan novels and The Gray Man at the same time. And people would say, like, how do you keep it right in your head? And I never really found that to be a problem, just because I'm not writing them simultaneously. It's like I'll go away from one. And I just felt the worlds were different enough to where, like, I wasn't writing Court when I meant to write Jack or whatever. I don't remember that ever really happening, even though it was a crazy, fast-paced time in my life, banging out two books a year, big books. With this, Josh Duffy, the protagonist in Armored, he's not a super spy. He's not like a Gray Man. He's not, top level assassin. He's, as I said, he's a blue collar guy who's just trying to put food on his table for his family and pay his utility bill and stuff. And obviously the story elevates from there as he gets into a situation and he does things maybe against his own personal self-interest for the greater good. But, he's different from Court in enough ways to where I really wasn't confusing to do. The world is so different. You have Josh and his six guys in his gun truck with him. And, you know, when I'm writing that, I'm thinking about that. And I'm not thinking about the Gray Man world.
It's more than I could do. I will tell you that, sir.
It gets harder to do every year. I can say that, as far as just cranking out the words and keeping the stories fresh. Because once you've had 22 books come out, you start writing. I'm writing something now, and I'll start writing, and I'll be like, wait a second, I feel like I did this, or I did something like this, or this feels a little derivative, and I don't ever want to go there. So it's like I have to back up and try again with something else. So it's tough.
You'd mentioned that earlier. Mentioned that earlier when you said you had to go back and look at The Gray Man to figure out where that character was in the first book. Got to be an incredible amount of information to have to carry around to keep the story fresh and to keep the character's evolution happening.
Yeah, people ask me all the time if I have like a big sort of file on, you know, like a character bio and everything about Gentry. So, you know, like his parents' name and when he was born, you know, all that. And I don't, and I would love to, but I just don't have time to do that. I have to write 1,000 words today or 2,000 words today. So I don't really have time. So there's a whole lot of me scrambling around going like, okay, I think in Backblast, he said something about, the street that his dad lived on. I need to go back and check that or whatever. I finally have this big file, this big PDF file that has all of my books, the electronic copies of all my books on one big PDF. So if I remember like a key term, I can type that in and go back see where it was. So that's helped me a lot. But yeah, the more it goes, and honestly, I've talked to other authors who write series and they're just like me, you'll get stuff wrong sometime. And that's different from what you said in book two. Well, book two, I wrote in 2009. And I don't have, total recall on it. You try to avoid that, but every now and then you screw up.
That's one area I really wanted to kick off on was like fans who are like very critical of every detail. Yeah. One of my buddies hit me up the other day and he was asking about like, there's so many times everybody uses the FBI in books. And you asked me about the FBI. I know a lot about them. Like, hey, I want to put someone from Homeland Security in there. What does this Homeland Security investigations do? How do they work? Do they work these like different types of cases? And how do they fit into the big picture? Because he's like, if I mess it up, somebody's going to call me on it. So what's your experience with that?
Oh, and my experience is tens of thousands of emails over the years. And, you know, there's errors in the first gray man that, you know, I've gotten an email this week on where somebody's like, hey, you have this instead of this, you know, the capital of Botswana is wrong or something. And you can actually go back and correct the electronic version if I reached out to my publisher and did that. But I'm sort of like, well, I did the best I could at the time. I'm moving on to something else. I've got to write a couple thousand words today. I'm not going to do anything about that. But then it makes you wonder about the person that sends you the email about a book you wrote 13 years ago to tell you there's something wrong, as if, you know, they're the first one to do it. I've had every possible permutation. I had a lady very angry with me because I had a character who was sitting outside and it was cold at a bus stop. And I said something about the cold was like in her feet and it was going up to her knees and she was just getting colder with her feet on the ground. And she's like, I have a doctorate in thermodynamics and cold is the absence of heat. It doesn't creep up your body. It blah, 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 blah. And so she just goes on and on and on about that. And I responded to her. That's back when I responded to stuff like this. And I responded to her and I was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine for you to say that, but you have to promise me that you will write every author that ever says the word sunrise in any one of your books, because the sun doesn't actually rise. It's the relationship of the earth around the sun. And she never responded. But, you know, it's like if you're going to get that pedantic about it, I've gotten thousands of them, and sometimes things are wrong. I had this guy, we're all gun guys. Gun guys are the worst. I can say it because I am one. But I mean, literally, you know, if you have anything wrong, you're not only an idiot, you're like a commie, liberal, whatever. And I'm sitting there going like, I'm reading this email while I'm strapped with a gun inside my waistband and another on my ankle. And they're going like, you Hollywood liberal, whatever, you know, and you're like, I live in Tennessee, dude. But, but then people are wrong a lot. I had this guy very angrily tell me that I talked about a bullet going supersonic and that was impossible. And I'm just like, I'm so embarrassed for you right now, buddy. But you know, I don't really respond to those the way I used to, just cause I just get too much stuff all the time, good or bad. I mean, you get it's 98% good. The 2% bad are the ones that stick in your head.
Well, you know, you are a New York Times bestselling author. You are a popular. I think I said that right. Popular. You're kind of moving into a new realm, though. You're going to be going to a premiere soon, and you're going to be surrounded. You're going to have a lot of spotlight on you. A lot more people are going to be looking at you. I am excited for you. But this is putting you into a whole new realm. And what's the next step? I mean, are you going to be a producer? Are you just going to keep writing? Are you going to jump more into the Hollywood realm?
You know, I'm just going to keep writing. It's just where I'm most comfortable. I'm set up as a producer on Armored if it gets made. But I don't even really know what that means. I don't even really know what that entails or what my responsibility will be. I think it's just something that would... that we ask for, but, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. Like 100% of my ambition is about the product and making the product better. I don't need, you know, obviously it couldn't be happier that this film is coming out. It's an amazing commercial for, you know, my books and will give me a lot of new readers and all that. But my ambition is always about next year's book and making sure it's not a disaster and maybe it'll even be good if I work hard enough. So I think I'll just keep my nose to the grindstone in that. This month or, you know, July is going to be wacky with, some newfound attention that I'm not used to. But, things will go back to normal and I will be, you know, sitting in a dark room writing all day, which is what I did today.
You know, as someone who's been following the Gray Man since book one, I've noticed like how the character arc has changed. I wasn't too excited about CR6 because I'm like, oh, do we need another origin story? Because I think I know everything I need to know.
Yeah.
But we did need CR6. I think CR6 hit. It's like a whole new type of character backstory. It's so much different than what I expected. And it made me really want another book like now. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, it's a very forgettable book. I've read some thrillers here and there. And I'm like, next book, I'll get it. But this one is like really like, wow. And I'm not just throwing kudos at you because you've been on a show a bunch of times and, you know, it's a great relationship with the publicist and everything else. But I really did enjoy it. I love the Gray Man series.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, Sierra 6 was half of it takes place 12 years in the past and the other half takes place in the present. And it was a little bit hard to write, but actually it was fun. Like looking back on it, it was overall fun to write. It seems like chaos at the time, so you don't really enjoy it when it happens. But when you look back, you say, well, that was actually a good experience. But yeah, I wanted to show my hero when he was younger than you've ever seen him before. He's like 25. He wasn't a little kid. And I want to show like a very specific thing that happened to him then. And then you see how it affects him later on in life. And there's some comebacks on what happened 12 years ago that involved the present storyline. And I really think I will do that again because I've made allusions to other things that have happened to him in the past. And I kind of want to show them, but I have to show them in a way where you don't know the ending already. I mean, that's the tough thing. If I say that, you know, he killed this guy or whatever, it's like, you can't go tell that story if it's just about that, because you know, the ending, and I don't want the readers to know the ending. That's kind of the antithesis of writing a thriller. So, anytime I can think up something that could have happened in his past and relate to something in the present, I'll probably do books like that.
That jump back and forth in time is such a great literary tool to show the development of any character, but you do it incredibly well.
Thank you for saying that.
You don't need to hear it from me, but from me, you do it incredibly well. It is, there are folks who write thrillers and there are folks who write thrillers all in caps and well, you're all in caps, sir.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. When I first started writing that book, my idea was to write it as two different books and then just switch chapter to chapter to chapter, do the past and then do the present after that. But as I got into it, I was like, well, it would really be cool if whatever happens in the past has some sort of relationship to the present story and then back and then back. So I'm like, oh, okay, my easy idea is not going to work. I've got to do this the hard way. So I had to sort of, you know, like just have my brain shift into the old story and the new story. And it turned out fine, but it, you know, made it a little harder to write.
I need to see that movie. That's what I need to see.
Yeah. I'd love it if they shot that one.
Yeah. Anyway, I do have to say, I'm going to throw kudos out there. They're not a sponsor, but we need to see Walther PDP in one of these books, man. Cause I just got one and I love it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I used to have a Walther P99, which I loved, but I sold it to get something bigger. At the P99C, and it was a fantastic guy.
I'm telling you, this PWP comes with it's optics ready. I threw a Holosun on there and it's like a dream. I really love this gun. I really suggest that you pick one up.
Absolutely. They make great guns. Yeah. I'll look into that for sure.
Yeah, it's fairly new. I mean, a couple of years they started. I mean, they had a really robust marketing plan for it. Mm-hmm. They had every influencer under the sun getting it, but then I actually bought one. I was like, oh man, this is really a really good gun, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a Walther and I loved it. In the first Gray Man book, he uses a Walther. And then I switched to a Glock 19 just because I thought him as a character would maybe be more into like just generic or whatever, you know, like it's just a tool or whatever. And Walthers are kind of pieces of art, even though they're tools, you know, they're really good tools. So that was just kind of a weird idea I had story-wise in my head, but I love Walther guns.
Yeah, like our, and speaking about tools, like our generic agency that we work for, almost all the feds, Glock 19. Here, take a Glock 19. Yeah. We're going to give you a new generation, and it's like the same thing, except they changed one part. You're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I think Court's more the kind of guy who would drive a Toyota if he had a choice, just to kind of stay under the radar. And the Glock is the Toyota of handguns.
Give the antagonist the Walther.
yeah. Give them the Steyr or the Walther or the CZ or something that just sounds mean or evil. Oh, man. It's funny. It's like when you write these things come into your head. And one of the Clancy books, I had John Clark, who's like classic Clancy character from forever, who'd always used a 1911, like in the old books that Clancy wrote. And I had him use, I can't remember what it was, but it was a very modernized 19, or was it very modernized 45 caliber ACP pistol. And it's like, when I did that, I was like, I just want him to like be up with the modern times, but still reaching back to where he was before. I'm like, no one's ever going to see that or get that or notice that. And no one's ever mentioned it in any of the books, but it's just like, as a writer, I was just kind of like, okay, so maybe he doesn't want to use a 1911 single stack because he's, you know, up against terrorists in 2016 or whatever. Exactly. It was. Maybe he wants something a little different, but he loves that caliber so much. So you do things like that.
Because they don't make a 46. That's why he carries a 45. Yeah.
They do make a 50, but you don't want it.
No, not
in
at all.
In a handgun.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you coming on, and sure. I'm really looking forward to Armored July 5th.
Indeed.
And I'm really looking for The Gray Man. I can't wait.
Man, I hope you watch it. I hope you like it. It's going to be in theaters on July 15th, and then it'll be on Netflix on July 22nd.
I think this is going to be one of those ones you need to see in a theater.
Yeah, I'm going to see it in the theater, and a couple times actually. And I would recommend people do that, because from what I've seen, that it's just really, really big set pieces. And I remember I had a conversation with Joe Russo once, and he's like, you know, to write something for the big screen, you have to have something people need to see 30 feet apart from each other or whatever, you know. So he's like, you write that in the screenplay to where there is, you know, activity and action on a big screen. And, you know, it's always nice to see movies at home on your home theater system, because there's nobody, you know, chomping gum behind you or talking to their friend or on their phone. But, you know, if you can go see it in the theater, I think that'd be great.
And I think the mustache effect is going to be a lot different on The Gray Man that with Chris Evans than it was in Top Gun. I mean, everybody after they saw Top Gun's like, I need a mustache. Now it's going to be like, ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. The villain's got the mustache.
I don't know. Chris Evans does such a good bad guy when he's written well.
Yeah. And this is wonderfully over the top. And there's a lot of like quirkiness and like humor in the story, which I was happy that made it into the, you know, the final cut or whatever. And I think people are really going to respond to the relationship between the two, the protagonist and the antagonist in it. The writing, the screenwriting was just terrific. Really
cool. Yeah. I saw that one clip between the two of them fighting, and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time again, and I'm really looking forward to everything you got going on.
Thanks so much for having me again. Always fun.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.